Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Well, GM's asking for more money to retool for the future, and the Obama administration is pouring tons of infrastructure cash into roads and bridges that GM's cars will drive on. Well, a lot of folks out there argue this is the perfect time to rethink the way in which we manage bridges, roads, and tunnels. There's talk of technology that could alert us to when a bridge is about to collapse, smart stoplights that help manage city drivers, and, of course, computerized systems that help reduce traffic or, at the very least, alert us to where the gridlock is and how to avoid it. Scott Belcher is president and CEO of the Intelligent Transportation Society of America, a lobbying group that looks to improve transportation infrastructure and technology. Scott Belcher, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Now, your organization argues for a lot of different technology, but I suspect the one that most people are interested in has to do with congestion. So let's cut to the chase. How can computers help ease traffic?
Well, our organization actually lobbies for we're an advocacy or an education organization, and what we do is we support the use of technology in transportation. And we do that to reduce congestion, to save lives, time, and money, and also to reduce emissions. So to reduce congestion, there's a wide variety of technologies that are out there and that are being deployed today already. From the simplest technology, which is to outfit traffic lights with technology that allows them to be synchronized, and to utilize computer technology to manage the traffic flows through cities and through the traffic systems. Those traffic light synchronization systems can also provide priorities to public transit buses and provide priorities in emergency situations or for emergency vehicles. And we've seen savings in drive time, savings in congestion from simply synchronizing traffic lights in intelligent ways of between 8% and 12%. And that's the most simple.
For example, in Manhattan that they've been working on for years? I mean, you can't synchronize to perfection, can you?
No. Well, that's a very good question. Can you synchronize to perfection? I think the eye is in the beholder. The technology continues to improve. Where we started out before is you synchronize just basically around time. And now you've got computer algorithms that will allow you to synchronize in advance. And so based on traffic flows that the traffic management center is getting, they can know in advance, many blocks, many miles ahead what the traffic patterns are going to be like. And by using those algorithms can adjust the traffic light, traffic flow in real time. And so that's going to continue to get more sophisticated and continue to drive towards perfection, as you say.
Now one of our producers who drives through Staten Island on her way to New Jersey says that there's a sign that says X number of minutes to the outer bridge crossing. Mm-hmm. She says it's always at 18. So is there really a brain working in there, or is there a psychological ploy here?
No, in fact, it's the exact opposite. Hopefully, it is 18 every time she drives it, because if it's not, then the psychology is not working. What you're seeing it's all about providing drivers and users information, and there's a variety of ways that's happening. But one of the ways that is happening is the use of signage along highways and at bridges, telling you how long it's going to take to get from point A to point B. Many cities and local governments install those signs with a little bit of trepidation, because if the information that you provide isn't accurate, then the user is afraid. The user will just ignore it. But if the information is accurate, it can really help you and relieve a lot of stress that the driver feels when they're on the highway. If they know that it's going to take 20 minutes to get from point A to point B, even if that's 10 minutes longer than they had anticipated, just knowing that can make the driving experience that much better. It also enables you to then take advantage of systems like 511, which New York State just recently deployed, which is where you can call 511 and you can go onto your computer or your handheld before you get in the car, and you can check your route. And they'll tell you how long it's going to take to get from point A to point B, and also to give you alternative routing.
Now, is there a place in the country where, not necessarily this particular technology, but that you think that is a shining example of the use of smart traffic intelligence technology?
Well, yes, but... let me just kind of provide a little bit more detail on other forms of technology that are out there and being utilized. It's all about information. And so what you're starting to see is you're seeing the city, New York City, you see the state, you see local governments providing users information, whether it's at signs on the highway, whether it's signs at bus stops, whether it's through 511 system or the internet. And then you've also got the private sector providing traveler information. If you go on Google, for example, you can download your route from Staten Island into the city, and they'll give you the transit alternative, they'll give you the driving alternative, they'll tell you how long it's going to take each segment and how much it's going to cost so that you have options. And I think you're going to start to see more and more of that. You're seeing some of that in California, for example. Not only does the sign as you're on the highway say it's 18 minutes to point A, but it'll also tell you how long it would take you if you were taking public transit.
18 minutes again.
Well, yeah, I'm using your number.
I'm wondering, that's the magic number.
Everybody uses 18 minutes everywhere.
Right. I recently spent some time in the Bay Area. I was in the Palo Alto for a year, and I spent plenty of time driving up and down the 101, Palo Alto to San Francisco, where they have those signs that tell you how many minutes it is, whether it's a long time, whether it's a short time. And I suppose it made me happier knowing, maybe a happier driver, but it didn't particularly seem to really speed traffic or ease congestion. And I'm wondering if it really does that anywhere.
Well, I don't think the signs are really intended to speed traffic or ease congestion.
So what does?
I think the signs are there to provide you information. What does is having real information about how long it's going to take and what your options are.
And where and is that happening anywhere? I mean, you mentioned California. I mean, is it really happening anywhere where sort of smart technology is in fact easing congestion?
Oh, sure. If you know what your options are, you know what your alternative routes are, again, and you can get this information from a variety of vendors on your cell phone, in your car, my GPS tells me an alternative route. So if I know that I'm going to Palo Alto and it's going to take 40, I can plug in the shortest route, which might be 40 minutes. But if for some reason there's an accident, I can plug in an alternative route and get there quicker than I otherwise would have.
Right. You might hear traffic ahead. Now let me ask you something about traffic, because, technology is great, and, I love to have my GPS talking to me. I tend to program mine on the Australian voice because it just makes me laugh. I'm wondering whether really the solution to traffic is just having less cars and sort of, kind of perhaps using the national wind of what has happened with, gas prices to sort of say, we need to rethink this.
Well, we do need to rethink it. I'm not sure that the answer, given the continued growth in our population, is less cars, just simply because even if you continue to reduce vehicle miles traveled by the existing population as more people become driver eligible and as the aging population holds on to their cars, I think you're going to continue to see growth in cars. I think what's going to be your solution are a couple of things. I mean, one is going to be the use of pricing. I mean, one thing that has a huge impact on congestion is making available things like hot lanes. Hot lanes are are lanes with variable pricing, where you can elect, you can choose to go on the hot lane if you want to. And what they do is they adjust the price.
Is that in effect anywhere, hot lanes? Where do you think
sure.
it's working?
Yes.
Where?
It's in effect in Minnesota. They have a number of hot lanes there.
And it's
California.
Working there?
Yes, it's okay. working, and it's actually very popular. They demonstrated it I'm not sure the highway. It's in the middle of Minnesota, and based on the success, they're expanding it.
All right. We need to wrap up on that, but
okay.
on that happy note, thinking about hot lanes working in Minnesota, we right. will wrap up with Scott Belcher. He's the president and CEO of the Intelligent Transportation Society of America. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
As you know, our Uncommon Economic Indicators project is in full swing with your stories, photos, videos, and calls chronicling the way in which the recession is affecting your day-to-day life. We have, in fact, received several traffic-related submissions, so we'll leave you now with a few phone calls we've gotten in the last few days, your Uncommon Traffic-Related Indicators.
The traffic on the Long Island Expressway coming into the city. It used to take me an hour and a half to get to work. Now it takes me just under an hour.
She said that there was absolutely no traffic getting into Manhattan.
A couple of years ago, the rush hour traffic was so heavy with people commuting to their jobs in New York City that it was often stop and go. Lately, traffic is so light that the average speed seems to be 75 to 80 miles an hour.
At the Route 4, Route 17 intersection at 20th to 7 when I usually hit it, last year there was traffic. This year I fly right through there, and I work for Yellow Freight. And we have half the amount of drivers and half the amount of freight going in and out of the terminal.
Callers to our Uncommon Economic Indicators hotline, you can call in your story, 1-800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. After the break, a Zagat died for doctors.